is. And nearly another month ends. Good evening. Welcome to another installment of Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. Live this evening on this 29th day of August, 2011, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Program, of course, is brought to you by Republic Trading Group. You know where to find us online. I'm going to probably shake some things up this week, but yeah, RepublicTradingGroupInternational.com. You can still find us over there. I didn't get all excited about market-related stuff at all today. I watched in the middle of the night metals beginning to move southward, which I was very happy about. And some clients that took advantage of some silver acquisition today on this lovely dip of a day, not to be confused with the dips that reside in D.C. I don't mean the people who live there. I'm talking about the idiots that we send there to work for us. So by the time it was over and done with, for Lord knows what reason, Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 255 points today to close at 11,539. By the way, Dow still over 2,000 points from the day Obama took office, or about that general time. NASDAQ is up 82 at 2,562. S&P 500 up 33 at 1,210. Global Dow is currently up 45 points at 1,883. What happened over the weekend that's made things look so good? Oh, maybe insurance companies, no, they won't be paying out so much dividends. I heard a rumor that six people died in the floods in New Jersey. I was rather happy when hoping it was the entire cast of Jersey Shore, you know, Six Pack and Pauly and Snooty or Snooky or whatever these idiots' names are. I'll tell you what, New Jersey should be embarrassed. By the way, those people represent people in New Jersey. But what can you do? Gold, well, gold had an interesting day. It's down. It's below 1,800 again. I like that. Take advantage of it. $1,788.50. Silver off 62 in the aftermarket at 40.88. We'll be back in a few minutes to talk about what you're going to do when you run out of money.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at HempUSA.org today.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Come on, get set to go. Walking on the side of the street. Just get ready to be. Right down the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a bitter path that goes? With a happy tune is your step. Life can be so divine. Right up the sunny side of life. Shoulder width.
For those of you who might have an interest, I did not do lots of uploading on the site over the weekend. Republic Trading Group International did a number of things that I felt were worth posting. And I've kind of carried it over in today just because Monday mornings there just isn't a lot up there. I tend to keep Republic Trading Group site almost strictly financial related. Very rarely do I put anything else that's not financial related on it. I know Robbie does that with his site. And you go over to my site, federalobserver.com, and you'll get more of the political news, although right now I'm just angry about how the nation seems to be ignoring this illegal invasion garbage. Much of what we spoke about on Friday, we've continued on with. Scrolling down the front page of Republic Trading Group, obviously a little satire, Ray Stevens' latest video called the Obama Budget Plan. Two videos by the singer you just listened to, Roberta Gambarini, live, not, you know, recorded for a movie. One singing Lover Come Back to Me and the other singing Take the A Train. That is a good piece. You get to see what she looks like, and she's just got a marvelous voice, so go enjoy her. And read some of the columns as well. A couple of the new ones we added, according to one as a group of economists, chiefly bankers, they claim that the market crash could hit within weeks. That's pretty interesting. Obama seeks the ultimate free lunch for housing, a bank bailout in disguise. A email I just received moments ago, just literally as the music was going on the air, which I'll not have time to get into. But from Rick sent this over to me. It's dated since several days ago. Billions of dollars in the stimulus that was meant to go to struggling homeowners has never been paid out. It's never been used. And they've decided they're going to go ahead and pull that money back in. $30 billion, and they're going to go ahead and just throw it back to help pay down the deficit or throw it into the general fund or whatever you want to call it. And so on a day-to-day basis, nothing changes. We look around the world. We see what's going on in Europe. There have been rumors that unless Germany can get their act together, that Merkel's government may be ready to collapse. The whole world is on the edge of its seat. They take short breaths. What strange paths have we come to? People watch, they wait, they listen for a pronunciamiento that could mean trillions in dollars or gains, a pronouncement. It could, in theory, push up the world's growth rate, speeding up economies, bringing millions into the workforce where they could earn money to pay for their wants and their needs. but the margin that could make the difference between life and death. Many millions of the world's people live day to day, hand to mouth, barely getting enough food to eat. A downturn in the world's economy hits them like a plague, and the Dark Ages pushing them over the edge into famine and even into death. And from whom will these precious words come today? Well, they will come from Benjamin Shalom Bernanke, once of Dillon, South Carolina, lately at the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank in New York. Oh, the headlines told us the story last week. World awaits word from Jackson Hole. Investors edgy before Bernanke announcement. World economy rests on Bernanke's shoulders. Just who is this man, Ben Bernanke, the one we call Uncle Ben? We tease about his rice bowl. Helicopter Ben. What kind of shoulders does he have? Is he a great deep thinker? A renowned philosopher in whom the world's people could have confidence? Is he a captain of industry, a man who has proven that he can lead men and run a profitable business? Is he an investment wizard like Warren Buffett, with billions of dollars as testament to his understanding of the world of money? Is he even a powerful politician or an acclaimed statesman who can at least pretend to solve the world's problems by threats and force? Alas, my friends, he is selection C, none of the above. He's a fellow who studied economics and became a university professor. And now he's a quasi-bureau rat working as the head of a quasi-bureau ratocracy whose main function is to make sure bankers make a profit. It's either control or money, according to our friend John Henry. Now, John made a fortune out of a simple insight. If corporations would give up control of their legal problems, they could save themselves a lot of money. Of course, John takes on their legal challenges and handles them as commercial matters. Doesn't particularly care whether they win or lose the case as long as the net cost is lower because he shares in the savings. But a lot of companies don't really care about saving money. They don't want to give up control, or more precisely, their legal team does not want to give up control, so they end up spending more money. And in the case of government, it's our money. Control or money, that is the choice. An economy functions best with no one in control. Central planning does not work. A little bit of it is a drag. A lot is fatal. But people don't like it when things are out of control. And that's the problem with capitalism. It always seems to stay out of control. At least it should be, or is. But you see, that's Uncle Ben's real role. The service he provides is making people believe it is under control. But the illusion of control is, it's quite expensive. Ben pumped $1.2 trillion into the banking system after Lehman collapsed in 2008. What did he get for it? About 80 cents worth of gross domestic product growth for every dollar spent. In other words, we lost money. Yes, losing proposition, but maybe Ben could make it up on volume. And what can he do now? At least in 2008, he still had some ammo. Now his big guns are empty. He's already stuck the Fed's key lending rate at zero and pledged to keep it there for two more years. And now we know that QEs 1 and 2 didn't work. But I guess this zero interest rate is QE3, huh? So late last week, we got word that housing went down in the last quarter, making 17 straight quarters of losses. Homeowners are down about $7 trillion, still sinking like the Titanic. New building permits down to a 15-year low. Sales have not been this low in a generation. And as for unemployment, the numbers are shifty. Most of the improvement in the unemployment rate comes from the feds taking people who can't find jobs off the list of those looking for work. The layoffs are increasing. It's now obvious that most of these jobs will never come back. You see, GDP, that's gross domestic product growth itself, is near stall rate. Most likely the recession of 08, 09 never really did end, even though Obama told us it was over by June of 09. He honestly believes that it was over 5 months after he took office. Jeez. Poor Mr. Bernanke. He got the whole world in his hands. No, he doesn't. But he's got the weight of the whole world's illusions on those weaselly, wimpy shoulders. An honest man would shrug. Posted this day, Bill Bonner, Daily Reckoning. Interesting. Very interesting. But then what's the difference between Bernanke and Obama? What was the closing line? An honest man would shrug? Unbelievable. Well, that's the one thing they have in common. There's no honesty. Absolutely no honesty, no integrity in either one of them. I was watching some garbage on Fox News a little while ago. And it was just appalling. It might have been William Kristol talking about how Obama, you know, stood up over the weekend, left his vacation to come home. He was probably scheduled to come home anyway. All those kids have to go back to school. Not that that matters. It is frustrating. So now they want to go compare Obama's handling to Hurricane, whatever this thing was, Irene, good night, Irene, to how George Bush handled Katrina. Why don't you people just stop it? Nobody really cares. The whole nation's in a mess. We're going to go out of here to a break listening to the lovely Renee. We'll be back in a few minutes.
A pen is from heaven. You'll find your fortune.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
As you may recall, Friday, I spent most of the hour discussing the ongoing plight in this nation of the illegal invasion, and I talked about the woman in, I think it was Huntsville, Alabama, that owned and managed an apartment complex that housed some 400 people, over half of which she admitted, or whom she admitted, were illegal aliens from Mexico. Well, first of all, she basically already knows she's breaking the law. Late in the day, we find that the immigration hearing ended with no judicial decision. Because I know darn well this Alabama U.S. District Court judge was going to basically pawn the decision off on somebody else. And that somebody else, of course, was a federal judge this morning. Temporarily putting this new Alabama law on hold until at least the 28th of September, suspending it for a full month. And this, I find, you know, I really could care less. Who cares? I got angry enough about this. I wrote a very quick column entitled "Who's Zooming Who? Raiding the Nation." And I talked about this woman's story. But I also challenged, as I did on this program the other day, that when is somebody, be it the Alabama State Attorney General's office or whatever they call themselves, or county attorney, someone whose job, someone who's been placed in that job to uphold the law, when is someone going to sue this woman for the fact that she's already in violation of the law? So, you know, late that night, we posted a goodly number of headlines. Officials finding more tunnels along the Arizona border. A 13-minute video that I strongly invite you to go look at federalobserver.com. It's entitled The Arizona Project Documentary. It was sent to me by Federal Observer contributing columnist and Southern Arizona rancher Ed Ashurst. The good one I like over the weekend is Obama's illegal alien uncle was arrested. Uncle Omar hit a cop car and tried to call the White House. Don't you love it? Now, is he married to the illegal aunt that's been living on the taxpayer's dole for how many years? Now, I got no use for Rick Perry, but Rick Perry is playing games right out of the Janet Napolitano playbook. When Napolitano was governor of Arizona, she used to send these bills to the federal government all the time demanding that the state be repaid for doing the federal government's job. The only person I ever knew that was able to take that to court and win it was Richard Mack. Maybe these people ought to get a hold of Richard Mack as a consultant. Rick Perry, the Texas governor, who's trying to flex his muscles and look how young and virile he is, has now billed the federal government $349 million for incarcerating illegal aliens. You're going to see more and more of this go on. Southern Poverty Lawsuit and an immigration group, they've joined the 287G lawsuit. National Immigration Project of the National Lawyers Guild filed a brief in support of attorney Elliot Osment's suit to end the Davidson County, Tennessee 287G program, which screens jail inmates to determine their legal status. Inmates flagged by the status could be then processed for deportation. What is wrong with these pictures, people? What is wrong with the whole damn nation that they just lay down in every state of the country and the few states that attempt to get the thing done right, to do the federal job that the federal government does not and will not and refuses to do? They get singled out. Tennessee, Arizona, Alabama, God knows how many others. All while California wants to extend a DREAM Act Part 2, giving public assistance to illegal alien students, allow them to compete for $40 million in public financial aid. It's unbelievable to me. I've got links over at Federal Observer, which will allow you, thanks to some of our listeners, Neil Ross, to Granny, Lynn Studer, and others who have continued to send me lots of links to the different aspects. And I think I'm going to get them posted up on Federal Observer. I want people to be able to go and have, gain access to these U.S. code, United States code. Can't hear anything. We ready? Break? Okay. We're going to go to a quick break. We'll be back. We're going to go in a slightly different direction. Stay with us, won't you?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Many of you know that I am a film nut, a film aficionado in many, many respects. Have been for well over half a century. I think one of the first movies I ever saw on television, and I've discussed it before, was the 1936 rendition of Romeo and Juliet with Leslie Howard, Norma Shearer, and John Barrymore. And the next film I think I would have remembered was probably Red River with John Wayne, ostensibly a remake of Mutiny on the Bounty, but so be it. For my money, one of my favorites, probably one of the greatest films ever made, is that film, the theme music you just listened to. A film called The Third Man, released some 62 years ago. About 10, 11 years ago, it was re-released with restored footage. You see, in this country, 11 minutes had been cut from the U.S. version. The film has always been praised as a classic thriller, but it's much more than that. It's a study of evil that bears repeated viewings. Rarely has a film been blessed by such a perfect combination of direction. Carol Reed, Sir Carol Reed, scripted by Graham Greene, cinematography by Robert Krasker, music, which you've just heard, by Anton Karas. Excellent casting, right down to the absolutely creepy minor characters. Film opens up with an American pulp fiction writer named Martins, Holly Martins, played by Joseph Cotten, who comes to occupied Vienna just after World War II to take a job writing for an old pal's medical charity. But upon arrival, he learns that his pal, Harry Lime, has just been run over by his own chauffeur. Holly attends Harry's funeral, talks to witnesses whose conflicting accounts of a third man at the death scene lead him to believe that Harry was murdered. And when a cynical British military policeman, a Major Calloway, played by Trevor Howard, tells him that Harry was about the worst racketeer who ever made a dirty living in this city, Holly angrily resolves to find the third man, solve the murder, and shame Calloway by clearing Harry's name. It turns out that the third man was Harry himself, still alive and in hiding after faking his own death. Moreover, Calloway was right. Harry Lime was getting rich in the black market, penicillin trade, watering the stuff down, causing death and suffering to the innocent. And after falling in love with Harry's lover, Anna Schmidt, played by Vallee, Holly finds Harry, confronts him, eventually agrees to help Calloway capture him. Harry Lime is not only one of the great villains of film, He's played by Orson Welles in a brief but unforgettable performance, which is well served by Welles' very hammy style of acting. Harry is a charming rascal who, as Anna says, never grew up. Holly's old schoolmate, who could fake illnesses and report cards, is developed naturally into a ruthless criminal who will sacrifice anyone, including Anna, to his own profit. In his confrontation with Holly in a Ferris wheel, Harry jauntily explains his philosophy. Looking down at the tiny people milling about below, he asks Holly what he'd say if Harry offered him $20,000 tax-free for every one of those dots that stopped moving. "Would you really, old man, tell me to keep my money? Or would you calculate how many of those dots you could afford to spare?" In a telling analogy, Harry likens himself to governments. He says, "They talk about the people and the proletariat. I talk about the suckers and the mugs. It's the same thing. They have their five-year plans, and I have mine." All this is said with a very conspiratorial smile. Harry knows how seductive he is, even when proposing murder. Of course, Holly won't bite. He accuses Harry of throwing Anna to the wolves by allowing the Russians to repatriate her to Czechoslovakia. Harry deflects the charge. "What can I do, old man? I'm dead, aren't I?" Well, Anna learns that Harry is alive and that he has betrayed her to the Russians, but she loves him anyway and won't forgive Holly for helping Calloway trap him. The film ends with a stunning snub. Anna walks coldly past the waiting Holly without even giving him a glance. You see, even when destroyed, Harry Lime still exists or exerts a sinister power over the living. But there really are people like Harry Lime in this world. He may remind you of a certain politician of similar personality, charming, cunning, ruthless, knowing all the angles, profoundly self-centered and treacherous, and yet somehow able to retain the loyalty even of people he has deceived and betrayed. Evil doesn't usually appear with horns and cleft hooves. Often it comes with a winning smile, an exaggerated warmth, an offhand joke, and an offer that's hard to refuse. It may flatter the suckers and the mugs, as the American people, but it regards them as so many dots to be measured by opinion polls and focus groups, with calculation where its conscience should be, and it gets a lot of help from people who ought to know better. People. Winning smile, exaggerated warmth, but then there are others who do know better. That which I've just shared with you was written in July of 1999. By now-retired writer Joseph Sobran. It obviously drew my attention because I am an absolute fan of The Third Man. If you want to see a brilliant, brilliant piece of work, get the Criterion version of it. You can get it at, I'm sure you can get it on Amazon.com. You can also go to Barnes & Noble and get it. It's the Criterion issue of The Third Man, fully restored. It is an amazing film if you've never seen it. It's one of those that I consider part of my conspiratorial film library, along with Dr. Strangelove, 7 Days in May, and so many others. But who are some of those others that ought to know better and do know better? I just shared with you a story about that's basically 62 years old. It's about a film that was made 62 years ago. I guess I could call this program the 4262 because what I share with you now is about a man who not a lot of people remember. And what they do remember, it's for his abilities on the gridiron. And yet maybe you begin to realize that those aren't the reasons to remember people like that. Once upon a time, Willie Joe Namath represented all that is American and masculine. He was the brash, swashbuckling quarterback of the New York Jets who so arrogantly predicted a Super Bowl III upset of the Baltimore Colts and then went out and backed it up. He dated starlets. He closed down bars. He did a commercial with Farrah Fawcett. His nickname mirrored his lifestyle. Broadway Joe. Recently, I saw Namath appear as a guest on MSNBC's Morning Joe. His appearance made for a relatively refreshing break from the usual sanctimonious chatter that you see on such programs, because he was on to discuss its efforts in assisting the cleanup from the recent tornadoes that destroyed much of the University of Alabama campus recently. Toward the end of the discussion, host Joe Scarborough asked him a question pertaining to his playing days at the University of Alabama. It's well known that Namath was suspended toward the end of his junior year by legendary coach Paul Bear Bryant because of a violation of team rules. Alabama had a bye week before its last regular season game, that season against the University of Miami. Namath planned to watch the Army-Navy football game on television, but the game was pushed back a few weeks because of the assassination of President Kennedy. Instead, he spent an evening at a local diner where, admittedly, he had literally a few sips of beer. But that was a clear violation of Coach Bryant's policy of no alcohol during the season. Bryant heard a rumor that Namath had been drinking over the weekend, so he approached his star quarterback and asked him if it was true. Namath admitted to the few sips of beer, while not mentioning that many of his teammates were drunk at an off-campus party that night. According to Mark Kregel's excellent book, Namath, after a short deliberation, Coach Bryant told Namath he could allow Namath to continue to play, but to do so would violate Bryant's principles, and that, in fact, the coach would have to resign. Instead, Bryant decided to suspend Namath for the final regular season game against Miami and for the upcoming Sugar Bowl. What was so striking about all this was not so much Bryant's decision to suspend Namath, which by today's standards would be absolutely draconian. It was Namath's reaction. As the news hit the wires that Namath, star quarterback for the University of Alabama, was suspended for the remainder of the season, Namath spent the next several days living in Bryant's basement, the guest of Coach Bryant's wife, so as to shield him from the media storm. Joe Namath was actually living under the same roof as the man who just kicked him off the team. And when Scarborough brought the suspension up, Namath did something positively old-fashioned. He accepted responsibility for his actions. "I broke a training rule," said Namath. Then and now, there was no outcry from Namath about fairness or rights. He didn't say that Bryant was taking money out of his pocket at the professional level or that everyone else was doing it. He didn't claim a biological predisposition to alcohol, nor did he blame the person who gave him the beer or say that it was bad luck. And you transgress today in college football or the pros or politics. Discipline is measured by, in the case of college football, college coaches in missed series or missed quarters or missed halves. Ohio State quarterback Terrell Pryor played in the most recent Sugar Bowl despite the fact that he was all set to be suspended for the first five regular season games this season for selling some of his memorabilia in exchange for tattoos. Apparently, there was concern from the networks and boosters that Pryor's absence from the game would affect its marketability. You're kind of curious to hear Coach Bryant's response to boosters as they expressed their concerns about marketability and Namath's absence. The value system that allowed a Terrell Pryor to participate in last year's Sugar Bowl is clearly pervasive throughout the rest of society. C.S. Lewis traces the progression from a system of acceptance of personal responsibility to a system where culpability is determined by external sources. According to Lewis in his essay, The Humanitarian Theory of Punishment, to punish a man because he deserves it, and as much as he deserves, is mere revenge and therefore barbarous and immoral. Instead, my friends, society tells us there is a biological and pathological element to all wrongdoing, and that corrective action, heaven forbid we should call it punishment, must take into consideration the wrongdoer's personal circumstances and environment. You see, Joe Namath's reaction and attitude stands in stark contrast to the current societal norm. What we see from Joe Namath is an honest admission of a deviation from an objective standard of conduct and an acceptance of the unpleasant consequences. Joe Namath owned his mistake. When was the last time we heard a leader from either party admit to a mistake? Admissions to mistakes are presently associated only with public sexual transgressions and are forthcoming only after the salacious pictures have hit the internet. You see, part of the reason why our current political, cultural, and economic system is broken is because, as with any problem, there must be some recognition and identification of the root cause before any corrective action can be taken. No one wants to be associated or identified with the root cause. Until society, on a collective and individual level, does this, we will continue to be mired in a perpetual downfall. What we need is more Joe Namaths. Published August 27th by Joseph Kalm. It was interesting as I began to work on today's program. Yeah, I could get up here and do an hour with a financial commentary and discussion. You heard a lot of that from Robbie today. I was unable to tune into John's program as I was working on stuff. But the first piece that I came across, interesting enough, was the piece on the third man. And you take a look at the hairy limes of this world, which permeate Washington, D.C. today. They take responsibility for nothing. And yet they kill, they maim, they lie, they cheat, they steal. Oh, that's what they're doing. They're stealing. They may not be knocking on your door and sticking a gun in your ribs and robbing your wallet, but they're stealing from you in one form or another. You got all these characters. You know, according to Michelle Bachman, she's Mary Magdalene. No, she's not even that. She must think she's, you know, Christ's mother. She thinks she's so perfect. She's never missed a mistake. Oh, I'm sorry, she take that back. She did admit to one the other day when she made a really stupid comment. She said she was meant as a joke. But the point is that none of these politicians will ever own up to their mistakes. And as Kalm writes, and he's correct, the only time they admit it is when the salacious pictures come out. He got caught, the pants down, the little boy. Or your soulmate out of the country while you're on the state's time clock. Or you're the governor of New York and got caught in a whorehouse. I didn't do anything wrong. Pretty refreshing to hear those words from a Joe Namath. It shows that his heroics go far beyond the gridiron of old. We'll be back with some closing comments.
Are you pretending? It looks like the ending, unless I can have one more chance to prove dear my life.
Ladies, gentlemen, Americans, meet Steve Voss.
The American dream has become a nightmare.
Steve Voss.
We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too
too late, there's not to meet and see Steve Voss perform live. You need to be at Get Prepared Expo, September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri, downtown at the Expo Center, all for $9 tickets. Get yours at GetPreparedExpo.com. Don't miss Steve Voss in concert live at Get Prepared Expo, September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri.
Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Always late anytime we have a date, but I love him. Yes, I love him. So I'm gonna walk up to his gate, see if we can get it straight, 'cause I want him. Yeah, I intend to have him.
What a great bubbly way to end this hour. A little Renee Allstead. Is you ain't my baby. I'm too old. Never mind. Jesus, God. Looking at some headlines just popping up. I love this one. FEMA's disaster relief fund is down to $800 million, putting the squeeze on victims. Disaster funds are drying up. Let's see what else we got. Banks and insurers grab investors' attention. I don't know how the insurers can be up unless they're not having to pay. That's right. Most people don't have flood insurance, so they won't be paying out. So certainly they're going to be, should be seeing an increase. Treasuries fall on the strength of U.S. consumers. Thousands of weddings were canceled over the weekend due to Irene. Some of those people are probably saying, thank God, I ain't going to reschedule this sucker. I'm gone with the wind. Let's see, what else we got? Obama named some new top economic advisor. He's another eco-terrorist, leftist, socialist guy, I guess, from everything I've read. The EU claims that the Greek bailout must go forward. Insurance nightmare for homeowners. Of course, they didn't have flood insurance. And the final one is why most Americans don't have wills. I'm not even going to open the column up. I'm going to suspect that most Americans don't have wills because they don't have much to protect. They've been wiped out. Estimated damage for Hurricane Irene is $10 billion, which means the government will find a way to squeeze 30 out of it. that's the way things go, you know. Buffett with his $5 billion deal, he made, what, $1.6 billion back the first day? All this kind of nonsense. Absolute insanity. I don't know. Well, coming up the rest of the week. Tomorrow, of course, is a long haul. Be up with Robbie and Bob and John and I guess myself. I don't know. It's been a long day. I got rolling really early this morning, and all sorts of things were going on. Here's a great story I like. Young couple with $783,000 in debt shows us exactly what's wrong with America. Think about that. Well, we got another new hurricane forming over the Atlantic. Gaddafi's family took off and boogied to Algeria. Algeria, it's all the same to me. I don't know. The most outrageous outfits, and who cares about that? Tennis needs to tell Maria Sharapova to shut up. Why? She can do whatever she wants for all I care. Oh, what's this? I got to look at a picture of Karl Marx? Here are five ways to fix the near record high income equality. Well, if it's got a picture of Karl Marx, you can well imagine exactly what kind of idea they're going to come up with. Hey, what do you want to bet Obama's uncle? It's his father's half-brother. Oh, he's being held by the immigration authorities. Uh-oh. Wonder if they let him off the hook. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for being with us tonight. Take care of yourselves, won't you? They cannot be replaced.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, and